Good evening. As Joseph prayed, there's probably no more precious command than to pray for one another. So this is a prayer meeting. If he'd have taken my 15 minutes, that would have been fair. You know, that's why we're here to pray. That's the focus. But do appreciate that sweet time of prayer. I want to ask you to turn to James 5:16 tonight, our first prayer meeting of 2017. And we look back at 2016, our theme, Prayer Works. And I think as I look around this room, I'm convinced that just about, if not all of you and us, are here because we believe that. And we came out to a prayer meeting because we are confident that prayer works. And I appreciate your testimony. It means a lot to me. Our 2017 theme, One Anothering, the One Another commands in the epistles. And we compiled them, shared them Sunday morning as 36 different commands and six categories. And tonight, I just wanted to, my attention was brought to James 5 and verse 16 because of two One Another commands there. And wanted to take time to read 13 to 18, but just for sake of time, we'll just go right on in and look at verse 16. My attention was drawn to the command by the second one, drawn to the verse by the second One Another command in this verse, but we're going to actually spend most of our time on the first one tonight. We've already obeyed the second one, so we're going to talk about the first one. So verse 16 of James 5, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And go back later and read 13 to 18, a lot about prayer in those verses. But as we think about these two commands regarding one another in verse 16, the first one being confess your trespasses to one another, the second being pray for one another, and obviously they are very closely connected, not only in that verse, but in the reality, hopefully, of our lives. So what we're going to look at tonight is three steps in applying that first command to confess your trespasses to one another. And we'll tie in a little bit the prayer to that as well. But the first step in this is risking the transparency. Risking the transparency. Just to, looking at terms a little bit here. The word confess, it's a verb there, and in the Greek it means to acknowledge, to admit, to agree with. In essence, to be transparent, to be open, to be able to be looked into. When we confess something, we are opening up something to someone else. We're allowing them to look within us and see who we are. The word trespasses in the New King James, in the King James, it's faults. And we find it in other translations, offenses, deviations from the law, sins, all these words in different translations in this verse, we find that. The thought here of trespasses could definitely be, and often is, in the New Testament, against God. Other times, and it seems here, in the context, particularly to be our trespasses against other people, when we have wronged and offended someone else. And I think also there's, just by way of application, this thought of trespasses, derived from the word to fall. I thought about just falling down right here as an object lesson, but I'm getting kind of old and I might get hurt and I might say I'm falling and I can't get up. You'd have to come up here and lift your brother up. That'd be okay as part of the illustration too. But it made me think about those areas in our lives where maybe we have trespassed in the past and we recognize in ourselves the tendency in our lives and the potential for falling in that same area as we think about confessing. And then that idea, bringing this idea of confess and the idea of trespasses together, confessing these things obviously to God when they're sins and when they're temptations, when we've sinned against other people, But in this context, obviously, he's talking about one another. He says, confess your trespasses. He doesn't say confess them to God. We're told that in other places, to confess to God. But here we're told to confess these things to others, to one another. That one another could be the person that we've offended. If I've committed a trespass against someone, then obviously an application would be to confess that to the person that I've offended, that I've trespassed against. And then it could also be, again in the same context, it could be confessing that trespass to other believers. Maybe another individual, maybe a small group of believers. We're praying, and many of you have filled out a survey about small groups, and one aspect of small groups is that smaller group of people that we may feel more comfortable confessing a trespass, a sin, an offense to. And really, as we go on through here, I think that it will come out the benefit even in a corporate group like tonight. Not that we get up and tell everything that we've done. I confess to you now that I am not one to quickly confess to you things. And we'll look at that again in a moment. But I think there can be very much benefit, and we'll look at that, as I mentioned, in a few minutes. But there is a risk, though. We acknowledge that. There's a risk of acknowledging and admitting what we've done and agreeing that it is wrong. The risk is, what will that person or those people think of me if I confess this? Will I lose credibility with them? Will I still have integrity in their eyes? Will they trust me if I confess my trespass to them? Is it worth the risk? There is a risk involved. There's no guarantee on what's on the other side of the confession. Now, when I confess to God, I have a guarantee. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I've got a guarantee. But if I confess something to you, I don't have that guarantee. All right? So there is a risk that's involved. The second part, first part, risking the transparency. The second part, rating the benefits. Rating the benefits. What are the benefits of taking the risk? The first benefit, as I see it, is obedience to God, because we just read in James 5:16 a command: confess your trespasses to one another. So if I confess my trespass to a brother or sister in Christ, I'm obeying God's command. Secondly, I think there's a benefit of facing and embracing the reality of who I really am. You know, I don't have any problem confessing my sins to me. I don't have a problem with that. I'm very open with myself. I don't have a problem confessing my trespasses to God. I know He's a loving, gracious Father, and I don't have a problem with that. But when it comes to opening that up to other people, it's more difficult. But there's a benefit in that, to face and embrace the reality of this is who I am. And the third benefit that I have down here ties in with that. It's the freedom of not having to hide it. It's the freedom of not having to act like I'm somebody that I'm not, because I'm told other people about that. A fourth benefit, as I rate the benefits and compare them to the risk, is the assistance that I can gain from the one who now knows. If I share something with Kim about myself, which I have done, and in hesitating to confess it, but when I did, I not only had the freedom of now she knows this about me, but also had the benefit of her helping me with the thing that I confessed to her. I find that Satan often uses the things we hide and keep just to ourselves. He uses those against us. Those are the areas where he comes in and has a foothold to trip us up. And there's a closer relationship because of that openness. And that's, as I thought about someone being willing, as at times people do, share a need, a spiritual need possibly, an area of struggle in a larger group, there becomes a drawing closer of the group if we're willing to do that. And then finally, and I think this is a little bit ironic, because one of the risks is the question, will I lose credibility with them? And I have found that, ironically, one of the benefits of confessing is credibility. It's a different kind of credibility, but they find out he's a real person. And I can't say that I've ever confessed anything of a deep nature publicly, but I do remember in a sermon one time sharing something about myself that was somewhat of a confession, and a brother who I don't know that well, but came up to me later and appreciated that, and he said something to the effect that, you know, it makes you a real person, you know, with me, in essence. Because sometimes they look at us and they see us in a certain light and see you in a certain light and think, man, that guy's got it all together. That woman, she never struggles with anything. And then to find out, wow, they're like me. And they feel like I can go to that person because they do understand and I'm able to share with them. So in one sense, you actually gain credibility by being willing to confess. So risking the transparency, rating the benefits, and then thirdly, we're kind of turning around a little bit and we're not so much looking at being the one who's confessing, but now the one who's being confessed to, responding with grace. Responding with grace. What if someone obeys this verse and confesses a fault against me or against God or against someone else or a potential threatening fall in their life? How do I respond to that? I want us to consider a couple things that I think would be good to consider when that happens to you. First of all, to consider that it could have been me. It could have been me. What they're confessing to me, that could have been me needing to confess that to somebody else. Because I'm not above falling. In fact, we read in the book of James that if we think we're above falling, we better watch out. Because, or rather, Galatians 6, that if we think we're above falling, that's when we're in the biggest danger of falling. Consider also, what if it was me? What if it was me confessing? You know, I'm reminded of what we call the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. That's what the Lord Jesus said. We call it the golden rule. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. How would I want them to respond to me? In essence, avoid being harsh and condemning. I mean, we need to speak the truth in love. But when someone is willing to open and up and confess and be transparent, to be willing to embrace that person with grace, as the Lord Jesus would and did. Number three, respond as God has responded to me when I have confessed my faults. We see that in Ephesians 4:32. As we get into another one another, we're to forgive one another, how even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us, and responding to them in the same way that God has responded to us. And we remember our sin was against God, and we know how He responded to us in grace. So even if they've sinned against us, or if they've done something that we maybe don't even understand, you know, there's certain things that I might struggle with, and you think, what? Why do you have a problem with that? You know, but there may be something you struggle with, and I'm going, what? Why do you? I don't understand you having a problem with that. We need to be sensitive to each other. Fourthly, as we respond with grace, we go on into the verse, and we pray for one another. We pray for one another. We pray for that person. We respond with grace. We take it to the Lord with them and on behalf of them when we're not with them. And then finally, consider the goal, and that's really at the end of the verse. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, we could look at the surrounding verses and we could go in different directions and ways, but we don't have time for that tonight. But the goal is definitely healing. It's definitely healing. And I would include in that spiritual and emotional and mental healing, as well as possibly physical healing here in these verses. The goal of healing and health, spiritual health, that is the goal as someone confesses to us and we respond. There's still no guarantee for the confessor. There's still risk, but you know, if we are known to be people who respond with a grace-saturated response, get that in your mind for a moment, a grace-saturated response, a response that is saturated with grace. Not that the truth is pushed out. No, we still respond with truth. We don't say, oh, it wasn't that bad, and that really was, you know, don't worry about that. You know, no. We acknowledge that it is what it is, but we can do that in a gracious way. So, summarizing, confessing faults to one another involves risk. It does. But it's a command. Number two, the benefits outweigh the risks. Okay, that's my conclusion of the fact that God commands it to be done. The benefits of being obedient to God outweigh the risks, as we see it, of dealing with human beings who don't always act like God. In fact, normally we don't. Thirdly, responding with grace blesses the confessor and encourages others to trust you with their confessions. If you respond to a confession with a hammer, don't expect that person to ever come back to you. You know, hit me on the head with a hammer once, shame on you. Hit me on the head with a hammer twice, shame on me. I'm not coming back to get hit on the head with a hammer. You know, and I might tell my friend, if you got something to share, don't go tell this person because they'll nail you. They'll be like the guy, remember what the guy said the other night in the movie? You know, the nail that raises up gets hammered down. He was eating chicken. So if you missed the movie, you don't know what's going on with that. But responding with grace blesses the confessor and encourages others to trust you with their confessions. And I find that as you respond with grace, it does not encourage people to say, oh, it's okay. It's okay to sin. It's okay to offend people because you know you're going to get forgiven. I don't find that to be the response of people who are truly repentant. No, they take that embrace of grace and that motivates them to avoid that sin, to avoid that potential threat. Thank you. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for hearing our confessions as we confess our sins, our trespasses, our offenses against you, our potential falls. Lord, and help us to be likewise. Father, it is so difficult for us, for me, to be honest and confess my own shortcomings. Father, my hypocrisy, my doubting, my fears. Father, my struggles. Lord, you know all about them. I tell you about them, but Lord, I know at times I need to be willing to share with my brothers and sisters some of these things. And Lord, as we go into this year wanting to one another, Lord, help us to start even with this idea of transparency. Father, help the people that we fellowship with here in this assembly, Father, to feel like they can come to us and confess, and that we will understand biblically and honoring you and honestly, but as the Lord Jesus always did, with grace and truth. Father, help us to be willing to confess and willing to receive confessions. We thank you that we don't have to confess, Lord, like the Catholic Church would say, to go and have our sins absolved. No, we do that with you, but we thank you for the benefits of getting things right with other believers and also just sharing who we really are. Father, help us with that. And help us to pray for one another that we may be healed and may be spiritually healthy. Thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you.